to participate as you're comfortable. We know a number of you are still staying at home and watching us online, and we appreciate that, and we appreciate all of the financial support everyone continues to provide to Grace as we provide these services to you. For those in the congregation this morning, we ask you to participate by, as the songs are on the screen, we ask you to meditate on those words. We're not asking for you to stand during any responsive readings except for the scripture. For those of you at home, stand, sing, shout, however you want to participate at home. We appreciate all you can do for us. Our Zoom fellowship that we typically have on Sunday mornings will not be held this morning, but we will resume our Zoom fellowship on Wednesday evening as the pastor returns. Again, we have information in the bulletin regarding our substitute pastor. If there's a pastoral emergency today, there is information in the bulletin. I invite you to return to that bulletin. It is online, and that information will also be on the screen for those sitting in the sanctuary today. We welcome Dr. John Waddell, a member here at Grace, who is standing in for our pastor as he finishes his vacation. Dr. John has come and delivered our message before, and we look very much forward to a word from God from Dr. John this morning. We celebrate our birthdays today. We have those that have had their birthdays this past week and those who will be having birthdays coming up this week. Again, we celebrate with Jim, Jane, David, Suzanne, Judith, Michelle, and Kristen, and Noah. And we celebrate anniversaries with David and Rita. Our own pastor and Lolly will be celebrating their anniversary this week, and Ronnie and Beth Williams. Again, we wish you were here so we could celebrate with you, but know that in our hearts we are singing and celebrating with you today. If there are no other announcements this morning, I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us prepare our hearts, our minds, and our spirits for worship."
Good morning and welcome to Grace United Methodist Church, a church of the community that equips people to experience God's love at work in the world. Now, we welcome our online visitors this morning. Our bulletin is also available online, and those at home may certainly stand and participate as appropriate throughout the worship service. Let us now prepare for our opening prayer. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, Creator of the universe, we thank you this morning for your presence, your power, and for the gift of your Son Jesus and his purchase of our salvation and freedom on an old rugged cross. As we celebrate this weekend of freedom, let us remember the words of your great servant, the Apostle Paul, that Christ has indeed set us free, but we should not use our freedom to indulge the flesh, but rather, through love, serve one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let us worship together through our hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming songs of earth. Praise thy mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy
again, good morning. We will now have our children's moment. Good morning, children of Grace United Methodist Church. And we certainly welcome our children who are online this morning. For our prelude today, we enjoyed the hymn, America the Beautiful. And as we celebrate this weekend of freedom and liberty, let us place our right hand over our hearts and remember the wonderful privileges we share and the sacrifices made on behalf of this great nation by our military and many others as we recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. We will now have our pastoral prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for life, health, and strength. We are grateful for the gift of your Son Jesus and the freedom, peace, and joy that undoubting faith in him provides. But today, Lord, on this 4th of July weekend, where we traditionally celebrate freedom, many are challenged by the fireworks of life, and oft times, in human terms, we seem confused and don't know where to turn. And our faith is tested day by day. Lord, as we come to you today, we cry out. We cry out because we are hit on every side, not only by COVID-19, but by issues and circumstances at, near, or maybe even on our front door. Often these issues seem so cold and harsh that we feel sad, sick, or alone. And false accusations by the enemy can create guilt and lack of fear in our hearts and in our minds. Father, increase our faith. Faith in the name of Jesus, our Savior, a name which is above every name and every circumstance. And with your help, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we can withstand the fireworks of the enemy, protect your gift of freedom, and take responsibility for making Jesus known to others. Now let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Yeah.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 13. I'm reading from the New International Version this morning. The verse is entitled, Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Again, good morning, and thank you, Sam, for that powerful reading of the Holy Scripture. Thank you to Dr. Merritt, Cecile, and Susan for the beautiful music this morning. Certainly to our wonderful pastor, our magnificent pastor and preacher, Rhett, wonderful wife, Lolly, and their beautiful family. We're on a much-deserved vacation. We thank you for your outstanding leadership as the church recently received the 2020 Best of Columbia Award for Places of Worship. And you should know that your ministry and impact this morning are much, much appreciated. To the members of the Administrative Council and this loving, service-oriented congregation called Grace, to our online members today, we welcome you. Thank you for attending our service. And certainly to our visitors and friends in attendance this morning, thank you for visiting with us. Friends, it gives me great pleasure to be with you on this beautiful Sunday morning as we celebrate the powerful work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we continue our celebration of this 4th of July Freedom Weekend, I'm reminded of the many private family dinners today, more specifically the fresh salad, the baked beans, the barbecue and macaroni and cheese. And then I'm reminded of the wise words of the comedian George Burns when it comes to good sermons, particularly on major holidays. Now, for those of us old enough to remember, George played the role of God in the classic late 1970s to 1980s movies, Oh God, with famed singer John Denver. And when asked how to determine if a sermon was good, the comedian replied, "The secret to a good sermon is to have a good beginning and a good ending, and more important, to have the two as close together as possible." And so, in the spirit of George Burns this morning, I will attempt to move right along. And therefore, I would like to talk with you for just a few minutes from the topic, freedom, God's gift, our responsibility. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you this morning for the gift of life and freedom each and every day. May we ever be mindful of Christ's shed blood and finished work at the cross, which purchased our freedom and our salvation. And in remembrance, let our hearts be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit to love and fulfill the important work of the Great Commission until Jesus comes again. Amen. Church, freedom, God's gift, our responsibility. Freedom, God's gift, our responsibility. Friends, within the backdrop of this great 4th of July Freedom Weekend, as proud Americans waving our beautiful flag with its vibrant red, white, and blue colors, we share a great delight in celebrating the powerful ideals upon which this nation was founded. And these ideals, you've heard them before, probably since grade school. Freedom, liberty, justice, equality, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. We are endowed with the inalienable rights of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And of course, we've all heard this one: truth, justice, and the American way. And church, these ideals, these promises, regardless of race, creed, or gender, they give all Americans goosebumps and make us stand tall. And they've unified us as Americans in good times and in the worst of times. And ironically, this notion of freedom that we hold so dear was not simply founded upon the shores of America, but we can trace its heritage to a manger in Bethlehem. Indeed, the spirit of freedom is as old as time itself. This spirit of freedom revealed its face in 1215 with the advent of the Magna Carta, when the people of England forced King John to protect and guarantee the rights of individual citizens in their beloved country. In 1517, we see the Holy Spirit and this ideal at work when Martin Luther, a professor in Germany, wrote and posted the 95 Theses on the door of the church in Wittenberg. And just like today, the printing press then knew the social media of that day carried it all over the known world and brought about significant change, including the development of the Protestant church, particularly the United Methodist faith, of which we hold so dear. Church, this promise of freedom is not new. The great Enlightenment writers of Europe, like John Locke of England, argued for the right to life, liberty, and property, and to respect the rights of individual citizens. And the French Enlightenment writers, like Voltaire and Montesquieu, argued for freedom of speech and religion, and brought these forces to bear on the nature of government and their notion of separation of powers, which is best expressed in the form of the government of the United States of America, has been the model for freedom and equal justice in democracies all over the world. But church, more important today, as we look at this great nation, America, and the fundamental gift of freedom in America today, these promises, these ideals, this freedom, and the power of this freedom in a more formal sense are truly intertwined, undergirded, and birthed by the Holy Bible, the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, the Declaration of Independence, and the infinite freedom, the very Constitution itself of the United States of America, under which we all live and have hope as free citizens. And history is replete with stories of how the founding fathers leaned on the Holy Bible for wisdom, solace, and prayer. And some fervent believers in Christ and the promise of this great nation might even argue that these ideals, these promises, are not just empty words written on a parchment from a long time ago, but they are not followed by a conditional but for or if clause. It's not there. For example, you're smart, but you're a woman. You get the picture. No conditions. But these are truly living promises that form not only a social contract between government and the people, but an anointed, more powerful socio-spiritual contract between God himself, government, and the citizenry. And these American promises under which we live make us a global model and proud to be members, arguably, of the greatest and most powerful nation on earth. Church, these ideals cause us to commit to something greater than ourselves, the United States of America, a nation under God, a cause greater than the individual, greater than our flesh, and greater than political partisanship. This cause is dedicated and committed to freedom and to we actively serving one another, the rich, the poor, and all in between, in a way that God would be pleased. But oh, church, today, as we celebrate this 4th of July Freedom Weekend, we are faced with a unique issue. A problem, a challenge, a conundrum, if you will, so confusing and difficult that it tears at the very fabric of what it means to live in the greatest, most diverse, and powerful democratic nation the world has ever known, the United States of America. Now, with respect to all other religions, a significant number of Americans claim Christianity as their personal religion. Church, how is it that our Savior Jesus died on an old rugged cross thousands of years ago for our salvation, yet we are still confused regarding socioeconomic policy and how to help our neighbor, particularly the elderly, the sick, and the poor? Jesus has shown us the way, but the flesh of many partisan and selfish voices continues to cause dissent and confusion. Church, how is it that from an economic perspective, a 2017-2018 U.S. Census report noted that 38.1 million citizens in the United States lived in poverty. And that one of every five American households had an income of less than $20,000. How is it that in 2019, 70% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, yet one out of five Americans cannot even note that they have a net worth of zero or even a negative net worth? Yet the top 1% of earners in America control over 69% of the country's economic assets in the wealthiest, most powerful nation on earth. How is it? Church, how is it that in 2019, according to the National Alliance to End Homelessness, 567,000 individuals, families, and youth are homeless? Worse, over 200,000 are unsheltered, or live on the outside with no shelter. How is it that according to the FBI, in 2018, there were over 16,000 murders in this great country? Approximately 393 in our beloved Palmetto State. How is it, church? How can this happen in the greatest nation on the earth, who for over 200 years has proclaimed itself to be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all? How is it? How is it that with all of our best efforts of places like Grace, private organizations and governments, churches, the best technology in the world, the most creative and entrepreneurial minds in the world, that we are still struggling to meet the needs of the unfortunate and the needy in this world, in the greatest nation on earth? Church, in this great America, how is it? How can that be? And many who participate in the loud debate and confusion tend to point fingers. When children are hungry, seniors need prescriptions, good people are unemployed, rural communities need Wi-Fi, and the poor and the uneducated have few to nowhere to turn to feed their hungry families. So, church, as we celebrate this Freedom Weekend on this beautiful Sunday morning, how can we deal with this pressing issue? So when we look at our scripture for today, Galatians 5:13, we see this type of inattention and confusion and lack of focus. And it is what the Apostle Paul faced when he penned the epistle or the letter to the Christian churches that he had helped to establish in the Roman province of Galatia. The Epistle of Galatians is the 9th book of the New Testament. And though scholars tend to debate the period, it was likely written in 47 to 55 AD. In those days, Galatia was located largely on the continent of Southwest Asia, but today it's specifically located in current-day Turkey and claims residence in both Asia and Southeastern Europe. It remains an important location for global commerce and world politics even to this day. Now, as we examine the scripture, Galatians 5:13, we see that Paul had visited the established churches and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in both northern and southern Galatia. And Paul had felt assured that the churches of Galatia had a strong knowledge of the gospel when he left the region. And the fundamental principle of which Paul was concerned that they knew was that man is not justified by faith or works of the law, but only by faith in Jesus and his finished work at the cross. Nothing else was needed. However, sometime after Paul began hearing rumors, after he'd left, that certain Jewish Christians had challenged the members of the Galatian church, creating confusion and arguing against Paul's credentials as a legitimate communicator of the gospel due to his early record of oppressing Christians. They'd also created further instability and argued in favor of reinstituting certain practices contained in the Mosaic law, like circumcision and other activities which required human actions or human works rather than simply the acceptance of the freedom and forgiveness from sin purchased by Christ's blood on the cross. And these Old Testament adherents refused to recognize and embrace God's evolving work and instead questioned God's wisdom through inappropriate assumptions, asking if no acts of sacrifice were required, then how could Christians be held accountable for their sinful ways? Questioning God. Their view, much like what we see in society today, failed to take and place their trust in God and accept God's good gift of freedom. They disregarded the power and work of the Holy Spirit. But Paul's epistle, or Paul's letter to the churches, urged them to disregard this confusion and choose to focus on God's gift of freedom and salvation. He reminded the churches of Galatia that human works were insignificant, and that there was no need to toil under the burdens of the law. But Paul also cast away the confusion of the oppressors by telling the brothers and sisters of Galatia that they should guard their freedom and not use the gifts of salvation and freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but simply to serve one another in love. So, church, on this 4th of July weekend, as we celebrate the ideals and promises of freedom in America, what does this mean for us today? And how can Paul's letter help the church keep our attention on Christ and share his love and work in a sometimes confusing and less than lovable world? First, we as Christians must recognize and choose to focus on the kingdom of God, his children and the less fortunate, versus human activities that include ego, greed, and selfish interest. In the scripture, Paul admonishes brothers and sisters to not become trapped by the things of the flesh. In our world today, there are so many distractions and temptations that can turn our attention away from God and toward our own personal desires. Things like technology and direct TV, gaming, friendship, social activities, family, good food and drink, commercial shopping, competition, and much more can all deflect our attention from God's plan for our fleshly desire to feel good and have more and more and more. Church, we must continue to remain vigilant and identify and recognize and choose to participate in corporate and personal ministries to help the unfortunate within our community. Secondly, Paul shares that we should humbly serve one another in love. in this great America, even in Colombia, I don't have to tell you that you don't have to go far down Harbison Boulevard or just a short distance from this church to see the poor, the hungry, the homeless, individuals who need food and clothing and medicine, and desperately to see the loving face of Christ's ambassadors and the fruit of the Spirit at work in the world. There's no human need that cannot be met by an appropriate measure of love and joy and peace, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness just at the right time. For many, the unfortunate have the entirety of their worldly goods in a shopping cart, and we must stop and be willing when able to buy a cold drink, a meal, a hand, a pair of socks, or just listen and not simply let our windows up and drive away when approached. In such instances, in our fear, might God be calling us to his work? Finally, we must be willing to prioritize the work of God's kingdom in our lives by attempting to increase our faith. Romans 10 and 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the way of God. And this means we should spend time getting to know Jesus and making him known to others. It is our responsibility to use God's gift of salvation and freedom from sin to love and serve others. Now, for some of you, this may require additional reading or prayer time, or intentionally deciding to offer a smile, a kind word, a listening ear when needed. There may be an opportunity to invite one to a Zoom session or to church. Making Jesus known to others is God's gift of freedom and our responsibility. Friends, all is not lost. Jesus left us with some precious promises. In John 16 and 33, he said, I've told you these things that you might have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Now, that's good news. And so as we celebrate this July 4th weekend of freedom, let's have Paul's words to humbly love and serve one another calls us to recommit to Christ's gift of freedom and making this nation a better place for all. As we celebrate this weekend of freedom, let us intentionally recognize and choose to hold both government and the citizenry accountable and responsible for the promises and the ideals that make America truly a place of liberty, equality, and justice for all. Church, freedom, God's gift, our responsibility. Freedom, God's gift, our responsibility. Now go and make Jesus known to others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will now have the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Thence he had come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in God, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
As we come to the presentation of our tithes and offerings, we'd like to thank all of you who continue to support the ministries of Grace United Methodist Church through your gifts and your prayers. I would invite you to turn to the bulletin. For those of you that are worshiping at home, we have a number of opportunities for giving that are enumerated in the bulletin, but we also have in-person ways for you to continue to support the ministries of Grace. We are still accepting, obviously, our offerings through the mail at 410 Harbison Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29212. We also have an online giving portal on our website at gracecolumbia.org. And we invite you to turn to that, and you can set up recurring payments, one time, or any way that you feel comfortable in giving towards the ministries of Grace. We also have a mailbox, a secure mailbox in the parking lot if you'd like to stop by, if you're on a trip somewhere else and you just like to drop your offerings by it at the church. The mailbox out front is secured, and we would appreciate if you could continue to do that if that's the way you're accustomed to supporting our ministries. There's also, in your bulletin, you'll see an effort called Feeding Guatemala. I'm going to refer that back to you so you can read that at your leisure, but again, an opportunity to continue to support the ministries of Grace and the United Methodist Church all around the world. I would invite you to pray with me. Gracious God, your hospitality has surrounded us and welcomed us. Even when we only grudgingly extended hospitality to sisters and brothers who are also your children. May we grow each day in our willingness to be welcoming disciples, not just to those who look like us, talk like us, or think like us. May our offering this morning be received not just in gratitude for your hospitality, but as our way to extend comfort and welcome to those for whom your love is a mystery. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Oh, God, from whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures.
Let's worship through the singing of America the Beautiful. Above the fruited plain,
Our mission at Grace is to know Jesus and to make him known to others.
Shalom to you now. Shalom.
And now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.